Good morning. Robert, there's no words. I see you sitting here. You know, God makes husband and wife one flesh. And like I said, there's no words to even begin to touch the pain of that separation, brother. But in prayer, I hope everybody is keeping Robert in prayer. We flippantly at times say, oh, she's with her Lord and Savior, and she is, that's a fact. But there's still us who are left down here. And enough said. Father God, just only you can touch our heart. And we ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in James chapter 1. And as you're turning to James, you know, there's a directive, a command, if you would. In 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. Just be turned into James chapter 1. But in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I'm very thankful that Paul follows it up. He says, but I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. I mean, you're not. If you're in Christ, you're not a reprobate. A castaway is what that word is. Just doesn't mean an evil, terrible, disgusting person as we utilize our word. But the word, we've been looking in James, and it says that it's a light, it's a lamp, it's a mirror to our whole being. And, you know, to examine ourselves doesn't mean always standing before a mirror. A lot of us do more time in front of that mirror every single day than we do examining ourselves in a spiritual light, in a spiritual observation, by looking into God's word and correcting that which we see is out of place. Now, we do it with the, some of us do it, not all of us do it. But if we see something in that mirror that we really don't like, boy, we spend some time trying to correct it, don't we? Get the hair just right. Get the mustache just right. Get the shirt just right. So maybe where I used to have a six-pack, the keg doesn't show anymore. I'm trying to lighten it up because God is saying, Doug, examine yourself every single day as I go out. Maybe not when I come in, just put my head down and say, thank you for the day, Lord. But before I go out, examine myself. See what's happening. And then make that correction by the word of God, because there's nothing else that's sold in the pharmacies or on the market or that you can go to a doctor's office and correct. Only God can correct some things. Only God can correct some things. I'll say it one more time. Who can correct all things? God. Whether or not you want to believe that, that's up to you and where your faith is. Because we try everything. Oh, how many of us see, this is the latest craze. Get this pill, and you won't even have to exercise. You can go to McDonald's every single day. You can eat fries and a shake and everything else. Just take a pill, and everything will be okay. Oh, my health, you know. Just take a pill. Just go to the doc and ask doc for a pill. He can take away all of that arthritis and everything else. No, we can't. But God is saying spiritually, I'm the one that I want you to come to, the great physician that can correct those things that he's trying to get right. Or if I can use some New York, get righter, you know, until I go, we'll never be perfect. I've said that 100 times from up here. I hope I'll never stop saying it. But it is not an excuse for us to continue in the way that we were or are going still. God, when he found us, it wasn't just to save us and clean us up and that's it. It's a continuation until the day that we go home. And I feel that today we're going to hear something in verse 26 again from the Holy Spirit about maybe a deeper examination into my life. So what James has been talking about for the last few months, and especially the last 2 weeks, was he's been talking about the power of the tongue. Now, this isn't a name it and claim it, so don't think I'm going there. You know, there are certain parts of our faith that if you see, you know, you can speak it into existence. No, you can't. I can speak all day long with this tongue that I can fly, and I cannot fly. I can speak all day long that, you know, my finances are 10 times what they're. No, I can't. The power of the tongue and what it does to our spiritual man and woman and what it does to others is what the Holy Spirit is trying to impart to each and every one of us. So the power of the tongue. And James last week told us about bridling our tongue, and not to get into it again, I should have brought the lesson again. We unpacked them the other day, a bridle. But a lot of us, Joey, you know what bridle is. Bridle, it's a headgear for the horse. But on that bridle, all of a sudden, is two reins, one on each side. And Kathy, you know, I'm looking around at the horse people, you know what a bridle does, Teddy. And within that is a bit, whether it be a real nasty one or a hackamore, you know, it's a little round one that's not supposed to hurt as much. How does anybody know what hurts that horse or not? They hate it. They chomp at that bit. They kind of throw it. They try to spit it, just like us. But what James is doing is giving us a physical picture of a horse. And the reason that you put that bridle on the horse is because it cannot be tamed without it. It's a control factor. Take that bridle off, right? Anybody with a horse, you ever walk near a horse with everything, the reins, the bridle, everything in your hand going up to them? They're gone. They're out of there. So you got to put it behind your back and have a can of some candies or some oats and shake it a little bit just to tempt them until you can get that on. And the whole purpose, again, is control. These tongues, as we're going to learn in chapter 3, can never be tamed, but it can be controlled just like a horse. Try to control a horse that isn't your pet horse, Marilyn, right? We've had some of those that love us so dearly. Try to control that horse though on your own. Try to put your hand out and stop that horse by just holding on to his nose or his head and see how far that gets us. What a picture of my mouth, what God is trying to show me. So again, I hope you understand I'm talking out loud in my thoughts. I'm not speaking about anybody out there, but if the shoe fits, wear it. This is God maybe trying to get something to us about control. So James 1:26 was where we left off, and we'll take up that again. If any man among you seems to be religious, if we say we have this faith, if we believe in Jesus, whatever, and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is profitless, vain, worthless. Father God, help us to receive your word. Not what I might say, not what I'm trying to impart, Lord, to either myself or everyone else, but what are you, through your Holy Spirit, trying to speak to each one of us? May we have ears to hear today. Hearts that would be receptive to the seed of your word, Lord, and the strength by your spirit to apply these things to our life. In Jesus' name. Well, I'm happy to report this week, because the last 2 weeks in a row, I've confessed in front of the church of seriously losing my temper to a point where it was not only embarrassing probably for my family, but for myself before my God. And it happened again the second week after I preached on it, probably to a worse degree, possibly. But this week, I kept my mouth shut. And last night it was like, wow, wow, Lord, I didn't flip out for 2 weeks now, for this week, like I did those last 2 weeks. And what, you know, at one point I was told by a dear brother, I won't mention his name, his initials are Seth Baumhover. He told me, he said, he was trying to pour his heart out, and I just told him what I felt I should, and he says, you always have a way of throwing cold water on everything, you know? And I do.
Yes.
I do. The dream killer, you know? It's what my family calls my son and I. The dream wrecker. I haven't flipped out, Lord. Wow, we did it. I kept my mouth shut. And he says, yeah, but what about the thoughts that you had every day, all week long? Oh, my. Seth, I just heard you. Oh, God, you always throw water on me just when I'm heating up, you know? Our thought life. Verse 26. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, your religion is not fruitful. My faith is not being as fruitful as he knows it can be for each and every one of us. So what about this problem I have in thought? I might not say it verbally. I might not just say one word after the other, lamb blasting somebody, knocking down anything they're trying to say. A lot of times it's, as we're going to see with James, it's blessings and cursings, foul language, whatever. Doesn't matter if I just say it. Do I think it? Because now what God is trying to do is correct that in me. Okay, we got your mouth bridled. We got that mouth. You're holding back because he's pulling on the reins. But boy, the thoughts are still in there. Just like that horse is saying, let go of them reins and I'll show you how to run. And that's what we're doing. But we make excuses for it. And I really feel God's trying to show me in the time that I might have left. And I don't know how much time I have left. Get it as much together as I possibly can before I stand before the Lord. It will be so much easier to correct things now than to stand before our Lord one day, because there will be no excuses. There will be no justifications and rationalizations, why I did this and why I didn't do that, and what was happening. So how do I go about this now was where I started after he showed me, how about your thoughts? And I feel that the Holy Spirit in this verse that we're looking at is showing us that connection that he's been trying to say between anger and the tongue and our thoughts and whether they come out or not. He's trying to show us that connection, that they start internally. This doesn't happen. It's not like, you know, and out it comes. You got hit by a hammer. But a lot of times we're already letting our minds roll to how we're going to do things, what we're going to say, how we're going to say it, when we're going to say it. And God is trying to get us to bridle those things. I think it's a problem that a lot of us have. But most of us, if we're honest, have never really tried to control that thought part of it. Well, I don't do this, and I don't cuss anymore, and I don't say that anymore, I'm not flipping out anymore, I don't break things, and I don't throw things, and that's good. But how about what's going on in each and every one of our thought lives? This is all part of our spiritual being, isn't it? It's not like I can separate my flesh and my spirit, and God has got us in this body for a certain amount of time. And what he's trying to do is get us to that point of sanctification, if we can just to be set aside for me, Doug, not for anybody else, not for any, how many of us have even said to our, I'm doing this for you, then don't do it at all. If a husband says, I'm doing this for you to his wife, don't do it at all, man. We're doing this for God. Because he's my Lord and he's my Savior. And we're not doing it for a purpose that somebody might pat us on the back or say, wow, you've really changed. And I've said before, Mark Twain made the statement, the problem with the human body is that when you pat it on the back, the head swells. And sometimes when that head swells, we forget everything. We start looking at ourselves. But God's saying, I want you to look internally, Doug, internally. And I started doing that after I said, I haven't flipped out this whole week. I was so proud of myself. Is that wrong? Probably. But then when he went and showed me that thought life, my heart just went, is there any help then? Is there any help for a guy like me? I mean, we know the Lord, you know, yes, the Lord. But I mean, is there any help, real, solid, that I know I can see? And again, it came out to be, yes, just Jesus, period, and his word. So I wanted to look into that. Turn to Matthew 15. So is there any help for my problem, for your problem? And I felt I was led to this by the Lord, and my feeling was I have to acknowledge this. Not only acknowledge it, remember we've been in a point where it says don't just be hearers of the word, be doers. And I hear the word. Some of us have more memorized than I can even imagine, but that's not what it's about. It's obedience to the voice of my God. It's obedience to my Lord, my Savior. So I was led to this Matthew 15. Now just look at verse 11. Remember that everything in context has to be taken. Not everything in God's word. I've said this before too. I want you to be careful because he's talking about these Pharisees at this point and their man-made rules and rituals and what they considered me making a man clean. God, Jesus, in this is going to show us what really makes you clean. Okay? But there's an application. Not everything is to us, but everything is for us. There's an application in what God is saying. Be doers of the word. Did he say, be doers of just the book of Matthew? No. Did he say, be doers just of Revelation? Be doers of the word, the whole word, the full counsel of God is what we're trying to get into our lives. So Matthew 15, 11, Jesus' response to these guys says, not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. So that deception that James was talking about, it's not so much what I put in, and don't use that for an excuse either. But, you know, we think, oh, I don't drink anymore. And I said last week, I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't go out with girls who do. That's an old one. But that's what we stand on as Christians. Oh, I used to be. It's not that stuff anymore. That's the distraction that God is trying to get out of our lives. Get it out of the way, that smokescreen that the enemy puts in there so he can get to the heart of the matter. And that's what matters is the heart. Where's my heart? Because when all of that comes out, it originated internally, in the heart, up here in the mind. I think the Hebrew, Lauren, kilyah is the word. The kidneys is what the Jewish faith, everything started down here. I look at that word, and that's the stuff that will kill you. You know, in the Hebrew, it's that stuff that's going on inside. We all know, and I'm, you know, here's Doc again, stress and anger and bitterness, does it cause physical problems? The answer is yeah. So when we have all of that compressed in here and we even keep it in, I think it still affects not only my thought life, but my whole being. I need to acknowledge that. And these guys, you know, then says, and then came his disciples and they asked him, well, tell us this parable. Well, it wasn't a parable. It was a statement that Jesus was trying to tell them. It's not what you're putting in your mouth. It's what comes out that's going to deceive you, make you think that you're in good standing. But be careful. You're not producing any fruit. And he answers that Well, you read the rest of it. I was going to read the rest of that, but I should get going. Stop following man-made or self-made.
You should read it.
Okay. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Oh, my, gee, my feelings are hurt. And that's what happens in churches. When we hear words like this, or when I get offended. So what do? We walk out. First, we move a row back. And we move a row back, and then we move a row back. And usually when we hit the back row, not you guys, but you're gone in a few weeks. That's the way it works. You know, and I had a guy that was Arthur Burt from Wales, who was in on a revival out there. One day everybody was talking about, oh, poor Doug Howe, you were offended by that and everything else. That man came up and put his hand on the back of my neck and said, be offended till you can be offended no more. That's where God wants us. So if this offends us, don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. Was I supposed to keep reading? Yeah. Look what that has. It takes it clear off the sermon, though. But he answered and said, 13, every plant which my heavenly Father has planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, that they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch. And Peter answered and said, declare unto this parable. It was not a parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? He applied this to his followers. Doug, are you still without understanding of what I just said? Do not you yet understand that whatsoever enters into the mouth goes out the belly and is cast out into the draught. I don't think I have to expound on that. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Every one of those start inside, and then they come out in action. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not anybody. God is trying to say, get your thought life together now. You just saw that in 1 week that God could control me from flipping out. And I had a few instances that I wanted to assert my authority, you know, as the father and as the grandfather and as the great-grandfather and what I was doing last week. But God's saying, no, we have to go deeper now. Let's get the thoughts going. Stop following your man-made rules. Stop thinking that these physical restraints in our life that we've created nullify his spiritual restraints that he's trying to work in each and every one of us. We have a responsibility to our faith. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, his faith. Not what I accept. I'm a born-again Christian. Robert and I were kidding. You know, I'm a Christian. Well, that's great. What kind of Christian are you? Well, we have all, you know, outside labels, all the isms, you know, Protestantism, Catholicism, Methodism, Baptist, you know, we have all this stuff. Well, I'm a born-again Christian. What does that mean? I'm a follower of Christ. What does that mean? Even these days. We need to start to get this down through that funnel of understanding into our heart. And realize that God is looking at the inside of me. He wants all of that pure so that when it does come up and come out, even that ministers grace to anybody who's hearing, anybody who's watching. So to answer that first question, is there any help for you? I know there is for me. Is there any help for you? You might be thinking, I've gone too far. You might be thinking, I don't know if I can do this. No, you can't. You can't do it. Without Jesus, it's impossible. Life is not hard without Jesus. It's impossible. You might fumble your way through. You might stumble and fall and fail. But life, eternal life, is what Jesus is trying to tell them. He's what he's trying to tell us. Without him, it's impossible. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. The power, the dunamis of God to live within us, that these things that sometimes offend us, you ought to watch your mouth. You shouldn't be talking like that. You ought to watch what you say and how you say it. That offends us. And God is saying it offends me. It offends me. And I'm trying to let you know through her, through him, through her. God is trying to speak to us. Tune it up. We try to tune up everything else in the mirror. We try to tune up our cars, or we go buy a new one, or we try to get it fixed. We try everything we have that's fallen apart, we try to fix, don't we, in a sense? And especially us guys, because we are Mr. Goodwrench. We're Mr. Fix-It. I fixed 100 of her problems before she even finished her sentence. That's part of this thought life. Listen. Listen. Hear what's being said. Don't always think I got the answer. Don't always think that just because I'm the guy, I'm in charge. I am no longer in charge. He's in charge. Is he truly in charge? And I feel yes. And I was led to it this morning, and, you know, I hate even saying a devotion, looking at God's word. God doesn't want our devotions. He wants our devotion, period. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't talk. You know, it's 9 o'clock, and I read the word at 9 o'clock. Those are devotions. God doesn't want that. In the middle of that devotion, if somebody says, I need you, God wants devotion, where I'll here I am, send me. I'll do that. Don't worry about that. Just open and listening to what he says. So what he showed me this morning, turn to Psalm 139. I don't know if any of you have read this one recently.
What was the number?
Psalm 139. There's two parts to this thought life of cleaning it up. One part is God. That's the biggest part. In his sovereignty, he's the only one, as I said before, not to repeat, that can do it. So there's the sovereignty of God, but then there's human responsibility that we'll get to. And I better get moving. Psalm 139, God's part. Here, but listen to him. This is your Father speaking to your heart, to your inward being. He's not just speaking this thousands of years ago. He's speaking it today. The psalmist was crying out, like I know some of us, because we all go, I need help. I need to straighten up. I need to get this right. I need to stop, you know. Cry out to him. Stop everything else. If it's that important, stop everything. And I feel that's what the psalmist did here. Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. I mean, think about that. You searched me. He knows everything that's going on in me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Before I think, God already knows it. Before I speak, God already knows it. Don't give up is what I hope we hear at the end of this psalm. Because our only hope is God. And those first two verses reminded me, I don't want to keep getting off a track, but this reminded me of Jeremiah 12. You've run with the footmen and they've wearied you. How are you going to contend with horses? We're talking about bridles, remember? You've run with the footmen. That's it, I've had it, I'm tired of her. That's it, I've had it, I'm tired with him. That's it, I'm tired with this job. And then the thoughts go and everything else, and it all starts in here, and boom, we're done. God is saying, don't give up. Don't give up. I've got this. I've got you. I've got you. I've got your back. I don't know how much that might mean to people, but, you know, if God's got my back, who can come against me? Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He knows everything. He knows the hurts that are in our heart, not just what's going to come out next or where we're going. For there is not a word, listen to 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. How embarrassing. I finally started realizing, you know, I know God lives in me. I know the Holy Spirit's in me. I know, but I can flip out in a bowling alley in front of 100 people and not be offended. My God heard me. Not a word in my tongue, Lord, that you don't. Why wasn't I embarrassed there at least? Why didn't that shut me up and pull those reins back to where I at least had my head down into my chest? But thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge, in verse 6, is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. I mean, this is mind-boggling. Where shall I go from your spirit? Can I go hide someplace? Can I not say those things, but I can walk off into the living room or the bedroom or the bathroom or the kitchen or the garage and say all the things that I think in my head? I can't get away from your presence. If I ascend up to heaven at night, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. That's hypothetical. He's not saying that. It's just God is everywhere. Everywhere. He's all around us. He's in us. He's hearing all this stuff. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God is not leaving you. He's just trying to tune us up. He's not looking at us like failures. He's looking at us as a child that he's trying to train. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. They're both the same. It's all the same to God. For thou hast possessed, 13, circle it, underline it. Has he? For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. God knows. God knows. He's just wanting to work in conjunction with me on this thought life. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You were in God's pocket at one time, as my wife was raised Roman Catholic, and I couldn't understand that when I used to date her way back then, but her mother would always make this statement to her brother, when you were in God's pocket, what? You know? What's he got, like a carpenter's belt on here? You know, here's John, and you know, here's Seth, and here's John. And God has known us from eternity past, and he loves us. How precious in 17, and this is written in the present tense in the Hebrew, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. More than the stars, more than the sands of the sea. That's what God thinks about you. And he thinks the same about me. And he thinks the same, all that sand. He's got that many thoughts for you and you. Thought life. He thinks perfect, good thoughts. Not evil. And an expected end. His expected end for our thought life, which is going to manifest in our spiritual life, in our physical life. His thought is to bring us home to heaven. As good as we possibly can be, just like the service, be all you can be. Am I really? I'm being all I want to be at times. I'm being all that I'm willing to concede to. Surely you'll slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody man, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? I wonder why I don't have that same vehemence for the thoughts that I have at times, that I have for some other people. Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? Mm-hmm. But how about my grieving the Holy Spirit when I don't obey? How about grieving the Holy Spirit with my thought life? And then he opens up to something I would say, be very careful to pray unless you really mean it. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That way everlasting is eternity. That's where he's trying to bring us. God is working in you. Just the fact that this week you might have been grieved in your own mind about how you spoke or what you thought or what you said, that should be proof positive that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives to try to bring us to that point of setting us aside for what God really wants in each one of our lives. So what's my part? Do I have time? Hebrews 4. God's part right there. He loves us. He's got us. He knows this. If God be for us, who can be against us? Will I ever get out of this body of death? The answer is yes. Is there a way that I can control, maybe never tame this tongue in my thoughts, but can I control it like a horse or a big ship that we're going to learn pretty soon? The answer to that is yes. Hebrews 4, verse 12. And it's God, and it's His word. Remember, I'll bring it back to James. Be what? Doers, not just hearers. Why is that? Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Whew. All starts here. Not so much by what I don't do anymore or how I look in front of other people. Well, that's the pastor. That's the pastor. And how I look. I remember being at a wedding and this person came up to me and said, Pastor, when are you leaving? And I said, why? And I didn't even know the person. Because I'm planning on getting pretty loaded here at this wedding and I don't feel good in front of you getting loaded.
That's not true.
And I did I know who that was? No, that wasn't the other one.
No.
You could have one of these if you weren't a pastor. I said, I can't have one of those because I'm a drunk, you know. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the hearts and everything that starts in here. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast our profession. You say you got religion? That's what James was saying. You say you got faith? How come you can't bridle your tongue, Doug? How come you're not working on that right now? You're just saying that. You're deceiving yourself. And He could be touched with every feeling that we have, our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. How do I do this? What's the help? Pray. Three things. Pray. Pray. I don't think we're praying enough, guys. We pray when we're in trouble. We pray when we really want something. We pray maybe when somebody asks us, but we're not walking around moment by moment with our own thought. Oh, man, stop. Just stop. And stop to pray. We should, if we're having an evil thought, walking through a market or something, or pray. Stop. What will that person think of me if I just stop and pray right now? You know, I don't know. But what would God think? It was like, you know, I've said it too many times. J. Campbell Morgan walking across a street where there were trolley cars going back and forth and horse wagons, and he just dead stopped and put his head down in the middle of the street, and his friend grabbed him and said, what are you doing? He said, a shadow came between me and my Lord, and I need to pass it before I go another step. My gosh, how do I get rid of these thoughts? How do I get rid of pray? And that's what it's saying here. And I pray the word. So therefore, in 16, let us come boldly unto the throne room of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace in to help in our time of need. Every one of us are in this time of need. I'll leave Matthew 13 to you this week. What kind of soil do I have? What am I working with? What's going on? How come things, I try that, I try to pray, but things just aren't growing the way that I want. We're learning an awful lot about ground and dirt down in Firestone. Things I never cared about, Joe, on the ranch. Did you ever remember fertilizing out on the ranch or putting seed down? No. The horses did the fertilizing for us, right? But down there, if you don't fertilize that lawn and you don't squirt it with all this stuff, and it just starts turning brown and it looks terrible, and then the neighbors are over there looking, and it looks, oh, look at his lawn, you know. How do I go about fixing this? You read Matthew 13 because there's a lot of different kinds of ground. There's a lot of different kinds of soil that when God is trying to sow this seed into our lives, that soil is of the utmost of importance, just like in the natural world. Good soil produces good fruit, good seed, good whatever. How's my soil? After you read it, look at it. There's the cloudy, there's the cluttered, there's that good ground that received the word. And each one of us are going to produce a different amount of fruit. Don't look at him and say, look how much fruit he's produced in 40 years. Just look and see what kind of fruit I have produced and start working on it. And watch what God can do. Well, how do I go about it? Well, you could read in Jeremiah 4, and I think it's in Hosea 2. It says, it is time to break up your fallow ground and seek the Lord. Break up fallow ground. That anybody who's done planting or farming, you know what? It's hard, sun-dried soil that's crusty. It's useless. But you can take that and you can break it up. You can mash it up. You can move it over. You can put some manure in there, if I can say that from here, and it just enriches it. It's time for you and I to break up our fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Everything that he's trying to do at this point that he's brought us to, I really feel it's more internal than it is external. It's not the building. It's not 300-400 people. It's not the amount of Bible studies or pickleball teams or softball teams that a church has. It's where is the heart of the church right now? The heart is what matters, because out of that proceeds all the rest of this stuff. Let's not be deceived, is what God was trying to tell us, or at least trying to tell me. So there's plenty of room in the woodshed this week. Be careful. Love you. Father God, help us. This word is, it's quick. It means it's living, Lord. It's not some dead philosophy. It's powerful. It can change lives. It can bring us from life to life, Father, not just death. And it is sharp, it cuts. But help us all not to be offended. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's stand and answer the phone.